Good evening, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Let us pray. O God, maker of all things, visible and invisible, we offer our sadness to you. O God, who sees the unseen, we've been hoping and we have been praying, but still a deep sadness has settled, spreading across our hearts and lodging in our throats, and we don't know how to hold it. We don't know what to say. O Comforter, when we weep and when no more tears will form, console us. O Emmanuel, when we can't sleep and when we hit new lows of exhaustion, be near us in the darkness. O Giver of hope, when we feel the weight on our shoulders and when we feel nothing at all, whisper, you are near. O Spirit, take our every work and each wordless groan when no words will form. Bind up the brokenhearted and give us hope to cling to in the promise that we are never alone. Amen. That prayer is called A Prayer for Those Who Are Sad. It was written by Kayla Craig and is from her recently published book, To Light Their Way, a collection of prayers and liturgies for parents. Thank you to Mother Abby for sharing this prayer and others on Facebook. They often provide me, and I'm sure many more as well, with moments of pause, contemplation, and peace during the course of daily life. Speaking of social media, has anyone heard anything about masks recently? Perhaps you are ready to never hear the word mask again. But that's what I'd like to talk with you about today, masks. Not the kind of mask we've been discussing and debating over the past 20 months, but the types of masks we've been wearing for long before the pandemic began, and that we may choose to keep wearing for long after it becomes a distant memory. Here's what I'm talking about. The masks we wear to shield ourselves from others, to hide, to protect ourselves, to cover up the parts we think might be a bit too raw, a bit too much, a bit too ugly for public view. We might wear a mask called respectable citizen, parent who volunteers and brings cupcakes, or early morning gym goer. We might wear a mask of niceness, of concern, of enthusiasm. We polish our resumes, our teeth, and our cars. We suck it up and in, we sip our drinks, we smile for the camera. At this point, you might be thinking, what's your problem, Jenny? These are good things to do. These are right actions. Brush your teeth, vote, click that little sign up button and bake those cupcakes. And that's all true. But what I want to say about masks is that we wear masks that separate us from one another far more than any little scrap of fabric ever could. We wear them by choice that feels like necessity. We may come to see the masks we wear as our identity, because nice, respectable mother goes down easier than scared, lost, or ashamed. Do we have the capacity to shape our identity as individuals? I believe we do. Can we ever really fake it till we make it? Sure, that probably works sometimes. But here's the thing. And this is the good news I want to share with you today. Every single person in this room and in this world is a beloved child of God, and there is a worthiness and capacity to love and be loved in all of us. Our identity as God's children, a God who loves us so much that he sent his only son to save us from ourselves, is so pure and so powerful that the masks we make for ourselves that separate us from one another are nothing. Are utterly worthless compared to our identity as followers of Christ. Most, if not all of us, wear masks. Even in our closest relationships with others, there are still some things we dare not say. Some parts of ourselves we keep hidden away deep inside. We want love, we want acceptance, and we don't want those skittish, beautiful birds to scatter to the winds if we reveal too much. When Mother Abby asked me to speak at this service, my first thought was, why me? I like to keep my spiritual life tucked neatly, safely, deep inside, along with pretty much everything else. But I said yes, because that's what a nice, respectable Episcopalian would do. And then soon after, as I was sitting in church listening to Father Wallace preach, I started thinking about masks. Maybe because my glasses were fogging up my mask, but I'd like to think it was about something a little bit deeper. Father Wallace was preaching about the Apostle Paul and his conversion from a persecutor of the faithful to a believer and a preacher. He was blinded, but his vision was restored and his identity reshaped through his faith in God. See, that's the thing about God and masks. There is no mask God can't see through. He saw through Saul's, he's seen through mine, and he sees through yours. Our masks become brittle and break with the lies we tell ourselves about ourselves, but God calls upon each of us to take off our masks and to see ourselves as he sees us and to live into our identity as his children. God invites us to be born again, to put on Christ, as the hymn tells us, and to not hide our true selves from each other, but to recognize each other as brothers and sisters, and to love each other as God loves us. Underneath our masks, we are soft and supple, maybe a little vulnerable and raw, squinting into the sun, but offered protection always under the shadow of God's wings. Now I'm going to tell you about a powerful experience I had in my life in late January of this year. This is the sort of thing I would normally keep to myself, not wanting to seem too religious, or maybe even crazy. But I know our faith calls on us to share the good news, and this is a good news story. After finishing my doctorate in 2017, I struggled to discern my path forward. What was my new identity? Tech entrepreneur? Academic? Policy wonk? Professional volunteer? Nothing was working out as I had envisioned, and I was running into disappointments and dead ends at every turn. I had embraced motherhood with my whole heart, but always thought when I was ready to focus on my career again, my path would be clear and smooth. Now my confidence was shaken. After so many years of hard work and perseverance, I felt like a failure to myself and others. I found myself frequently thinking about old wounds, betrayals, and unresolved issues, and feeling all the pain and sadness those thoughts brought up. Like I said, I was struggling. Still smiling, but struggling. Around this past Christmas, I started thinking a lot about Grace Mission, a ministry that's held a special place in my heart ever since my family began volunteering there back in 2010. I knew Pastor Amanda was retiring, and then I heard that Don Adams, the director of Children and Family Ministries, had stepped down as well. I could not stop thinking about the mission, and especially the children who were served there. I felt like maybe I was being called to serve. I had actually had a strong feeling many years before that this might be something I was called to do. But at the time, I dismissed the thought. After all, I was getting my PhD. By late January, I decided to reach out to Nancy Daniels, who chairs Grace Mission's Board of Advisors. We had a long phone conversation about what was going on at the mission and my interest in potentially working there. When we hung up, I walked over to my kitchen sink and just started praying so hard, asking God what he would have me do and if this was the right path for me to take. Suddenly I heard a voice, not a voice in my head, not my voice, but a voice from outside myself, clear and close to me. Neither male nor female. The voice simply said, "I want you to be closer to me." I gasped and grabbed the edge of the counter. Then I sobbed, overwhelmed with emotion and a feeling of being loved and heard and blessed. My own next thought was, and this is how, this is a path that will bring me closer to God. My prayer was answered. And it wasn't a yes or no answer. God didn't say, "Go work at Grace Mission." I don't think God is really concerned with where we work or what kind of car we drive or those types of aspects of our lives. But God does care about who we are as people and how we live our lives in relationship with him and with each other. And I do work for Grace Mission now as the new director of Children, Youth, and Family Ministries. The feelings of gratitude and awe I felt at that moment have stayed with me since that afternoon in January. I didn't tell anyone about it for a few days, but eventually I did discuss it with a few people. One of those people was Deacon Joe. He affirmed my experience and told me about something he has learned through his work as a deacon that has stayed with me and that I'd like to share with you. He said, "It's not about what we do as much as how we change in ways that bring us closer to God. It's how we grow in the fruits of the Spirit." I've had moments since January when I've questioned my experience in the kitchen, when I've questioned my identity, and returned to the various masks I might wear. But then I remind myself to whom I belong and where I find my true identity. I remind myself to choose faith over fear, truth over lies, and hope over despair. In today's gospel reading, we heard about Bartimaeus, a blind beggar. He cried out to Jesus for mercy and asked his teacher to let him see again. Jesus tells him, "Go, your faith has made you well." And Bartimaeus' vision is restored, and he goes with Jesus, following him on his way, closer than ever. I have been a blind beggar in my own life, and I have cried out to God many times for mercy. God has answered my prayers, not with condemnation, but with a call to come closer. What a gift. I can feel God helping me to better see myself and others for who we truly are. And whenever I begin to question the direction I'm going in, I remember my true north. I would like to close today by leaving you with this message. If God wants this for me, God wants this for you. I thought I wasn't worthy, but I am. And you may think you're not worthy, but you are. Bring God your sadness, your confusion, and your fears, and God will dry your tears, restore your vision, and guide your path. God will call you to come closer. Take off your masks, have faith, and see yourself for who you truly are, a beloved child of God. Amen.
Sing together hymn number 304
304 verses 1 and 2.